especially in the commercial sector and the business sector, where sometimes bureaucracy is an obstacle. He stated at the Indonesia-UAE third roundtable discussion in Jakarta on Thursday during a meeting attended by UAE Energy Minister Suhail Al-Mazrui. Minister Sugiono also remarked that currently Indonesia is aiming for 8% economic growth rate. To achieve this target, the government is implemented good governance in the business and governmental sectors. The third news. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto urged the Indonesian Armed Forces and the National Police to remain committed to upholding the law and maintaining national sovereignty. He stated this during the TNI Polri leadership meeting in Jakarta on Thursday, where President Prabowo viewed that laws and regulation are meaningless without proper enforcement by law enforcement agencies. He also emphasized that TNI and Polri must diligently fulfill their duties as mandated by law. The 2025 TNI Polri leadership meeting was held with the theme TNI Polri Synergy to Support Astacita to Realize Golden Indonesia 2045. The fourth news. The National Arms Agency of Indonesia aims to collect and mobilize $46 billion in charitable funds to reconstruct a range of public facilities in Palestine, including hospitals, schools, and mosques. The ARM agency had for national digital transformation. Nandratu Zabahosen remarked as cited from the agency statement on Friday, and the agency had been actively delivering humanitarian aid to Palestine, noting that as of Tuesday, January 28, a total of 45 trucks transporting relief goods the agency collected from Indonesian people had entered Gaza through the Rafah Gate in Egypt. The official hopes that the ceasefire agreed upon the Palestinian Hamas freedom fighters and the Israeli occupation forces would last, thereby allowing the philanthropic agency and similar institution to distribute aid more conveniently. The fifth news. The Indonesian government sees its relation with China as very close based on a survey of the Indo-Pacific by the National Research and Innovation Agency. The result of the survey, according to the head agency Legal Research Center, Emilia Justiningrum, are in line with those of the ASEAN People's Perception Survey conducted by the Foreign Policy Community of Indonesia. The APPS states that China is seen as the most relevant partner for the future of ASEAN. Through the questions in the survey, the agency identified 4 points related to Indonesia and China relations, with China emerging as the most profitable partner in economic growth, with the strongest social power projection, and as the most relevant partner for the future. The sixth news. Indonesian Minister of Housing and Settlement Marwar Sirait on Thursday shared Qatar's plan to build housing for the lower middle class in Indonesia. He viewed that the housing program will use state land as directed by President Prabowo Subianto. He also remarked that both countries have agreed to cooperate and sign a memorandum of understanding in the housing sector on funding for 1 million homes for low-income people. The MOU signing was witnessed by President Prabowo and was carried out between Minister Sirait and Qatari investor Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al Thani at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta. The funding will be provided under a government-to-government scheme between Qatar and Indonesia. With the cooperation, Qatar has become the first foreign investors to take part in Prabowo's priority program of building 3 million homes for low-income people every year. Moving on to the final news. Indonesia Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman has emphasized the need for transforming traditional agriculture into a modern one through the development of agricultural clusters, such as a transformation can reduce production costs up to 50% and increase production by up to 100%. At the event of Accelerating Indonesia's Economic Growth, Challenges and Opportunities in the New Era, in Jakarta on Thursday, he said that currently his site is developing modern agricultural clusters in several regions, such as Central Kalimantan, South Sumatra, and South Papua. He viewed that the clusters are comparable with those in other countries pursuing modern agriculture, such as the United States, Vietnam, China, and Thailand. The government is targeting to carry out agricultural transformation on up to 1 million hectares of farmland this year. Minister Sulaiman believes that modern agricultural clusters will help Indonesia become a world food barn. And that was Newsline.
Today's commentary is on micro, small, and medium enterprises, steal the attention of participants at the 2025 World Economic Forum in Switzerland. The micro, small, and medium enterprises sector has long been one of the main pillars of the Indonesian economy. Under the leadership of President Prabowo Subianto, the government is committed to making micro, small, and medium enterprises the driving force of the economy. During the inauguration of the Red and White Cabinet, President Prabowo Subianto stated a grand vision to advance micro, small, and medium enterprises to move up a class, including going international. There is one micro, small, and medium enterprise from Bandung that has succeeded in stealing the world's attention at the 2025 World Economic Forum held in Davos, Switzerland, with their superior products, beef rendang and egg rendang chips. Micro, small, and medium enterprise Restu Mandi, which serves food at the Indonesian Pavilion, received a warm welcome from visitors because of its delicious and authentic taste. According to Restu Mandi Business Development Director, Ichda Ramadanti, in addition to offering an authentic taste rich in spices, it has another advantage in having complete food quality certification, even managed to meet the standards and certification of the United States Food and Drug Administration, FDA, which is very difficult to obtain. Not only that, this micro, small, and medium enterprise has also pocketed various certification ranging from halal certification by the Indonesian Ulama Council, the Indonesian Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, to being declared good manufacturing practice certified and hazard analysis critical control points certified. Armed with complete certification, this company from Bandung is expanding into the international market. Currently, its products have successfully entered the markets of Papua New Guinea, Qatar, Australia, and Singapore. Another interesting thing, this enterprise does not only focus on profit, but also creates a positive impact on the local community, among other things, by opening up job opportunities for housewives with flexible working hours and working with local farmers around Bandung, West Java, to ensure they get quality raw materials. This is certainly in line with the third ideal of President Prabowo's Asta Cita program or 8 missions, namely increasing quality employment, encouraging entrepreneurship, developing creative industries, and continuing infrastructure development. In the future, it is hoped that micro, small, and medium enterprises can truly play a role as pillars of the national economy. That was commentary.
begin today in history with January 31st, 1926. Nahdlatul Ulama is the biggest Islamic organization in Indonesia. This organization is known for its traditionalist Islamic character. NU was founded in Surabaya, East Java on January 31, 1926 by a number of ulama with Kyai Haji Hashim Asy'ari. Nahdlatul Ulama is the biggest Islamic organization in Indonesia as the first general chairman. Quoting ac.kemdikbud.go.id, with the establishment of NU, traditionalists had their own organization that was managed in a modern way, uniting ulama in most of Central Java and East Java. In 1930, a branch of NU was opened in Kalimantan. Since its establishment, NU has launched various activity programs targeting various fields of life, including the people's economy, science, social, culture, and nationality. By 2023, around 150 million Indonesians claim to be a member of NU, making NU the largest Islamic organization in Indonesia. Moving on to January 31st, 1966, the Luna 6 spacecraft launched. Luna 6 was an unmanned spacecraft built by the Soviet Union as part of their space mission. Designed by Sergei Korolev's design bureau, it was launched on January 31, 1966, from the Baikonur Cosmodrome, now in Kazakhstan. Luna 6 became the first spacecraft to land on the moon and take pictures of the moon's surface. And we'll end today in history with January 31st, 2020. Britain leaves the European Union. The UK has been a member of the European Union since 1973, when it was still called the European Communities, and was confirmed by referendum in 1975. In 2016, a referendum showed that the majority of the British people wanted to leave the EU. The negotiation process was carried out between UK and the EU. After 47 years of joining, the UK finally officially left the EU on January 31st, 2020. And that was today in history.
Listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
In today's My Indonesia, Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources Indonesia is capable of switching to EBT. Expert staff of the Energy and Mineral Resource Minister, Satya Hanga Yuda, believes Indonesia was capable of switching from fossil fuels to new and renewable energy, thus meeting the set carbon emission target. According to Satya, the transition process was carried out based on national capability limits and complied into the standards applied by developed countries. Satya, in his statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, explained that the energy transition must be gradual. Indonesia is switching to EBT, but coal is still a competitive and cheap energy source. Therefore, in order for Indonesia to be consistent with reducing carbon emission in coal-fired power plants, co-firing with biomass, and in the future, with carbon storage technology is required. Satya said, under the leadership of President Prabowo, Indonesia will develop new renewable energy and reduce dependence on fossil fuels. He said that by 2040, more than 100 gigawatt of energy capacity will be built, 75% of which will come from renewable energy, 5 gigawatt nuclear, and 20 gigawatt from gas. The former Oil and Gas Commercialization Analyst of Oil and Gas Task Force hope that with the Presidential Decree of the National Energy Security and Downstream Task Force led by the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, it can increase investment, downstreaming, and becoming a trigger for economic growth, job creation, and increased added value in Indonesia commodities. Satya explained that Indonesia must be able to switch from fossil fuels to EBT to achieve the Paris Agreement target in 2030 and also net zero emission in 2060. Coal phase down is important, but there must be a solution. And that was My Indonesia.
Jangan kau ganggu aku, aku tak setia. Jangan kau ganggu aku dulu, aku tak ingin bertemu kamu.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder. Listener, if you ever been to Semarang Central Java, make sure you try some of the local dishes. Everyone knows about lumpia spring roll, but there's another gem you shouldn't miss, babat gongso. This dish has a unique and irresistible flavor, and you can enjoy it whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening. While you are in Semarang, look for food vendors selling this dish. Babat gongso is often served by fried rice vendors, who either walk around with carts or set up small stalls in different areas. So what is babat gongso? Babat gongso is made from beef tripe, which is the soft part of a cow's stomach. The tripe is boiled until tender and stir-fried with a mix of spices. These spices include shallot, garlic, chilies, and sweet soy sauce. The result is a dish with a perfect balance of spicy heat from the chilies and sweetness from the soy sauce. It's best served with a plate of steaming white rice, a combination that's simply delicious. listener, not only is babat gong so tasty, but it's also packed with protein from the beef tribe. If you're visiting Semarang, this dish is something you cannot leave without trying. It's an authentic part of the local food culture. Plus, it's affordable, with prices usually between 20,000 to 30,000 rupiah or $2 per serving, including rice. Well, listeners, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Bila kita menjadi yang lain,
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, today's miscellany informs you about a team of Indonesian students from the Department of Electrical Engineering and Information Technology, Faculty of Engineering, Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, joined Huawei Developer Competition 2024 Asia Pacific at the Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok, Thailand on January 20 to the 21st. In this competition, the students team up with students from the Department of Mechanical and Industrial Engineering as part of Team HyFlex. In a final round, Team HyFlex won first runner-up at the Huawei Developer Competition 2024 Asia-Pacific for their innovation after competing against 662,220 teams for a total prize of $34,000. One of the team members, Aufa, said Team HyFlex created their innovation based on an idea they developed themselves. In this competition, each team developed information and communication technology solutions to solve real-world problems using Huawei's cloud technology. All teams were divided into two categories, Enterprise Track and Student Track. Each category had six winners selected through several stages, from submitting proposals, presenting demo solutions, and finally competing in a final round. Listener, in this Huawei Developer Competition Asia Pacific, two out of the six teams in the student track category were from Gajah Mada University. Besides HyFlex, another team called Claudia Crew, made up of students from the Department of Computer Science and Electronics, Faculty of Mathematics and Natural Sciences at a university, won second runner-up. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Terus berlari, namun ku takut. mendapatkanmu. Terus berlari, namun ku takut terjatuh lagi. Semakin ku kejar, semakin kau jauh. Tak pernah lebih untuk dapatkanmu. Terus berlari, namun ku takut terjatuh lagi.
For still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a special song from Central Sulawesi, namely Sampai Suburoa. In the Kaile language, Sampai Suburoa means cousins and friends. This song holds a special place in the hearts of Kaile people who live in many parts of Central Sulawesi. It tells the story of a young man who leaves home, spending 20 years away pursuing a better life. But after years by years, his heart is still filled with longing for the people he left behind. Finally, he returns, hoping to reunite with his cousins and friends, just like old times. Well, listeners, let's enjoy the song Sampai Suburoa, beautifully performed by Indonesian legendary band from Palu, namely Ungu. Happy listening.
Sampai 20 tahun kaya ko ang katana kaili na lang to rabagwa sampai siguro
kecewakan, mengapa kau hancurin mengapa kau menghinakan? Mengapa kau sakiti? Mengapa kau melukakan? Mengapa kau memberi? Mengapa kau melupakan? Mengapa kau akhiri? Mengapa kau mengulangkan? Dengan kesalahan jiwa ku kebukakan pertanyaan. Tak ingin ku kau pergi, tak ingin ku dikecewakan. Cinta dinodai, tak ingin dihancurkan, tak ingin ku disakiti, tak ingin ku dilukakan, tak ingin ku kau beri.
Thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram @voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.
Thank you. 这是由佳导 Voice of Indonesia 的华语节目。本台播送来自印度尼西亚的新闻、信息和娱乐。您能每天通过短波频率33.25千赫和17.55千赫。本台的网站 www.voinews.id/mandarin 的流媒体直播以及 LRE Digital 应用程序收听本台的节目 Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界。
听众朋友你好，我们又在 Voice of Indonesia 播送的一个小舌头华语节目相逢。今天是2025年2月2日星期日，本期的节目有新闻、印尼各地的消息、历史上的今天、印度尼西亚如何播送印度尼西亚各种各样消息，以及依赖在 Persona Indonesia 印度尼西亚美丽和无言流逝，最后是为您播送印度尼西亚各级在 Blangina 的节目。听众朋友，接下来请各位收听播报新闻。听众朋友，接下来请各位收听播报新闻。新闻提要：第一，印度尼西亚和沙特阿拉伯登供了为数十名患有心脏缺陷的儿童实施手术。第二，马鲁古向香港出口65吨石斑鱼。第三，气象气候和地球物理局在极端水温气象威胁下进行紧急改造。第四，宗教部长释放了30名服务3年的阿拉扎大学学职。第五，人力部副部长在卡拉旺推介日本实习项目。第六，总统认为对印度尼西亚公民在马来西亚遭枪击事件的调查是透明的。第七，印尼接待阿联酋部长来访，下降伙伴关系。听众朋友，接下来请各位收听播报新闻内容。由加达哈拉班吉达心脏和血管医院以及沙特阿拉伯沙门国王人道主义援助救济中心成功了为38名患儿实施先减轻心脏病手术。据 LRE.co.id 报道，于本月30日周四在医院进行的新闻发布会上，哈拉班吉达心脏和血管医院院长伊万德戈达透露，其中38例患有严重心脏病，然而他保证通过与沙曼国王人道主义援助和救济中心团队的合作，这一问题可以得到解决。